I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play, because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. How's it? I am Mark Immelman, alongside the Oracle, the all-knowing from PGAtour.com. He knows it all, folks. College golf, junior golf, PGA Tour golf. He's Sean Martin. Welcome, man. How are you?
That's high praise. I don't know if I can live up to that.
Come on now. You got it. You got it. How you been?
Good. Good. I can't believe it's almost over. I mean, we're a few days away from the season being over, and it's really hard to believe at this point, this early in the year. It's pretty crazy.
So if I had to ask you, Sean, before we get to the Tour Championship this week, so if I had to ask you to wrap this wraparound 18-19 season, just quickly in a nutshell, what would it be to you?
I think there's two things. I think there's Tiger. I think that 2019 win, the further removed we get from that, the more I feel like that was his 1986 and not the start of his pursuit for 19 majors. I hope that's not too somber or too dark, but, you know, we've just seen so many issues with the body, and we've seen so many weeks where he just looks slow and he's not moving right. And even he said he doesn't know how many swings are left in that body. And then, of course, it's the year of Koepka. He's won three times. I almost look at it like the year 1950 when Hogan won the U.S. Open. He got Player of the Year over Sam Snead, who was pretty much by far the best player that year, but Hogan was kind of the sentimental Player of the Year pick. And I almost wonder if we could have history repeat itself in that way. With, I think Brooks is your consensus Player of the Year, but I do wonder, you know, you almost give it to Tiger just because that was that's going to be the seminal moment from this year. Brooks was the best player, but Tiger provided the best moment.
Yeah, told you he knew everything, folks. Hey, for me, you know, Tiger Brooks certainly deserved the lion's share of the attention, but this wraparound season, there were so many new golfers that jumped out. And you make a good point. You know, we're seeing guys sort of in the twilight of the career, some with Tiger and Phil, obviously, too, one in Pebble Beach, but since then hasn't been so great. And now you've got these young bucks, the Morikawas, the Victor Hovlands, the Matthew Wolfs spring to the foreground, the forefront. And man, it is exciting times. Now, switching gears real fast, one of those youngsters is a guy who you really like, Sungjae Im, in the Tour Championship. But before we get to the players, Eastlake, to you, what does Eastlake represent?
It's cool. It's got that old school vibe. Of course, you know, it's the home of Bobby Jones. The clubhouse is full of Jones memorabilia. It's a Donald Ross design. So there's a lot that kind of harkens back to the history of the game. But it's also just it's a Reese Jones updated, just tough golf course. I think, you know, it's not a place that, you know, has become outdated with time. It's a very tough test that requires really good ball striking. And that's usually we see rise to the top of the leaderboard or some really strong ball strikers. You can't fake it around this golf course. So it's kind of a cool mix of a tough golf course with a lot of history that also you can look back on.
Well, I tell you what, too, the ball strikers and the tough golf course, you look at some of the winners around you. Tiger, obviously, Xander Schauffele, Rory McIlroy, Henrik Stenson, Jim Furyk. I mean, the list goes on. And the one curious thing to me about the golf course, and I want your take because you're a good player, you know, a number of the tour venues, they're sort of sharp doglegs and you have to carry the ball over a corner to an elbow or something, where Eastlake just sits in front of you. It's uphill, it's downhill, but they're these real gentle doglegs, if anything, and you got that penal Bermuda rough on either sides of these Zoysia fairways. And man, you've got to put the ball in play off the tee. And last year, that was something Tiger did really well to that victory.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a clinic. He was driving it great. You know, we've seen so many years where he struggles with the driver, where he sprays it. But he's hitting that nice baby cut with good distance. Not like he was bunting it. But, I mean, he just had full control of his golf game, and really it was off the tee that was the most impressive part, considering the way that, you know, he's driven it even during his best years, that he was just finding fairways, keeping himself out of trouble, and doing what you need to do around this golf course.
So to that, obviously, we've talked about who it sort of favors and the fact that it rewards the ball strikers. You know, you look through the history list of this, you talked about Eastlake. It's the oldest club in Atlanta, established in 1904, was originally part of the athletic club, the Atlanta Athletic Club, before it moved to the north side of town. But Bob Jones, Charlie Yates, Alexis Sterling, Watts Gunn, the pro was Stuart Maiden, who was a coach to Bobby Jones. He was a mentor to Fred Haskins, who the outstanding collegiate player of the year gets the Haskins Award. I mean, it just seems like from this place's inception to now, there's this thread that keeps on going where the best golfers hang around.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, Eastlake, Atlanta, the charitable initiative of all of this. You got any take on that? Because I think it's oftentimes we have all these PGA Tour stars that show up, but the work that Tom Cousins and the folks from the Eastlake Foundation do around there, I mean, that is really special stuff.
Yeah, you can, I mean, it's definitely been told a lot, but you can definitely see that it's a revitalized neighborhood. And I wasn't here during the years when it was really struggling, but I mean, it's definitely a different community than it was. There's a lot of good work with the Drew Charter School. The golf team there has actually had a lot of success now. So you're introducing people to the game, and you've got this great club in the middle of the town, but obviously the first tee is here as well. So it's not just about a private club, but it's about introducing people to the game through the first tee. It's really, there's not much more than can be said that's already been said. It's just a great initiative.
Yeah, one thing I love about Eastlake, you see the logo, obviously, with the E, the L, and the GC, and then you've got this catchphrase, golf with a purpose, underneath there. Something, too, that I know is pretty close to your heart, when we speak about Eastlake, you know, you're so up in the college game. There's the Eastlake Cup that happens here in the fall, and that's a fun event, too. It's televised on Golf Channel, and you see some of the future stars out there playing.
Yeah, definitely. They take the final four teams from that year's NCAA championship, and they come out and they play one round of stroke play, and then they play a final four of match play. And so it's a cool little appetizer for the NCAAs. And what you'll see there, that match play has been a huge success for college golf. It's become must-see viewing. Obviously, people don't really know a lot of the players per se, but the drama is always there. It always comes down to a fifth and final match, it seems. It always comes down to, you know, some 19-year-old kid with a 6-foot putt for his team to advance. It's just always great viewing. Like I said, even though the players are often anonymous to the people that are watching, the pressure itself is pretty evident. You're playing for your team. You're not playing for yourself. So that adds to the pressure. So that's definitely pretty cool. It's been a great event. I think match play has been interesting. It doesn't crown the best team in the NCAA championship, which I think is a little bit unfortunate, but it provides the drama that has gotten a lot of attention. I think if college golf was still stroke play, the winner's list of the NCAA championship would be a lot different, but I think there would be a lot less eyeballs on it because stroke play, even though the best team usually does rise to the top, a lot of times you have these runaways, especially by some of those Oklahoma State teams that are so dominant that the final round is almost a formality.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Eastlake's most prominent ever member, Bob Jones, career amateur, won the impregnable quadrilateral, the Grand Slam, the Open, the U.S. Open, the British amateur and the U.S. amateur, and went to school at multiple universities, including Georgia Tech there in downtown Atlanta. So I guess I would be remiss to ask one of the foremost minds on college and amateur golf, Sean Martin, hey, man, the U.S. amateur is right behind us. First off, you got young Cohen Trolio in the final four, and then you got Andy Ogletree from Georgia Tech win the thing eventually. I know you were paying close attention. Fill us in, please.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool story. A kid from a real small town. He's obviously a Georgia Tech guy. I heard that he's the third Georgia Tech winner. I can't think of anyone outside of it, but it's Ogletree, Matt Kuchar, of course, in 97. He was the first USAM champ after Tiger Woods' three-peat. Mm-hmm. And then he went on to have all those success in majors as an amateur. And then, of course, Bobby Jones. And Andy comes from a small town in Mississippi. There are actually two guys from Mississippi in the semifinals, which is a big deal for that state. and his town is so small that it doesn't even have a population. It's basically your one stoplight kind of town. Went to the big city of Georgia Tech, and a pretty good player, but really transformed his game this year. I think Ryan Lavner wrote a great profile on him for GolfChannel.com about how Andy just this year really kind of took that next step as a player. He was always a good ball striker, but like a lot of kids in college, became more well-rounded by improving his short game, improved his putting stroke, had kind of a hook stroke with his putting, and he would struggle with speed control and three putting and got rid of that, and that's helped. And then also just becoming more diversified around the greens, which we know is so key at Pinehurst with those roll-offs and short grass areas.
Yeah, that was the amateur game. We are at the end of the professional PGA Tour season at Eastlake at the Tour finale. We're going to take a quick break, but after that, Sean Martin and I are going to play a little stock up, stock down.
It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
Okay, Sean, it's time. You are the expert at fantasy golf, so this would be right up your alley. Stock up.
I heard the standings say that right now.
Stock up, stock down. Presented by TD Ameritrade. Three guys. I don't care whether it's up or down. What's your take here?
Sure. First up, I'm going to go easy. I'm going to go stock up on JT. Dominant victory at Medina. That 61 was something else to watch. And it's ninth victory in the last three seasons, which is the most on the PGA Tour in that span, but his first one in more than a year. And I think we had kind of forgotten that. Obviously, the year was derailed a little bit by the wrist injury, but even he said he was nervous waking up on Sunday. He's forgotten kind of how hard it is to win. So just to get back in the winner's circle, the longer the span between victories when you're a guy who's accustomed to winning, you know, he won five times in 2017 when he won the FedEx Cup. He's won three times in 2018. When you won as much as he has in that short period of time, a year between victories can really feel like an eternity. And so to finally get off the snide, I think was huge for him. And obviously now comes into Eastlake. He's got the lead and the staggered start that we're doing. He's a 10 under par. And so he's, you know, basically giving strokes to everyone else in the field, but he's going to be hard to beat. I think with a two stroke lead, the way he's playing, and then really he's trying to join Tiger Woods as the only multiple FedEx Cup champion, as a guy who lives in Jupiter, mm-hmm. Down near Tiger, I know that would mean a lot to him.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, stock up. I'm going to go Patrick Cantlay. I mean, how's this guy's season? He shows up every time on the leaderboard. Won earlier this season at the Memorial Jacks tournament. Played two tour championships thus far. Has had a tie for 21st and a tie for 20th. And he shot four rounds under par. The thing, though, for me, and we've talked about this, Sean, Eastlake is a ball striker's place. Get this guy. He's 13th strokes gained off the tee. He's 12th strokes gained approach. And oh yes, on top of this, he's 14th strokes gained putting, and that is an improvement from 153rd last season. So a huge uptick on the greens. He's got the victory, played beautifully last week. The streak coming in here, he's 38 under par for his last three events, tied for 12th in Memphis at the World Golf Championships, FedEx St. Jude. He's finished tied for 12th at the Northern Trust 2 weeks ago, and last week ran somewhat close second, I guess, to your Justin Thomas. So I'm going to say Patrick Cantlay, a real stock up. You got anything else for me?
No, I think you summed it all up. I'm a big Cantlay guy since watching him in his amateur days in 2011, but there's nothing else to add there. Definitely one of the game's best ball strikers. I was surprised that he was so low in the putting stats. He's got a great stroke. Puts a great strike on the ball on the putting greens, and so I was very surprised to hear that he was that low in strokes gained putting.
Okay, who you got next?
Next, I'm going to go Sung Jae-im. 11th in the BMW, and more importantly, that qualified him for the Tour Championship. He moved inside the top 30. He's the only rookie at Eastlake. So history would say that he has Rookie of the Year locked up. I do think that there's a case to be made for Colin Morikawa, but I think people will stick with history and vote for the lone rookie. At Eastlake. The guy is a machine. 34 starts this year, most on tour. I walked out on the range Tuesday morning at Eastlake, and he was the only guy out there as well. So basically just never stops playing or practicing. But he was Web.com Tour Player of the Year last year, the youngest ever. Now he's looking to be Rookie of the Year. He would join Stuart Fink, another Georgia Tech guy, as we're in Atlanta, as the only guys to win Korn Ferry Player of the Year and then Rookie of the Year in back-to-back years. So, you know, Stuart Fink, a major champion, not bad company to do. And just a great season. The only thing he didn't do was win, but knocked on the door. He played well in some big events. And just to be able to play 34 events and not have an arm fall off has been impressive in its own right.
Man, I tell you what, I like that selection. And he's the kind of guy, he's not that long off the tee, but he barely misses a fairway ever. And so he's going to be very much a factor at Eastlake. I'm also going stock up here. I'm going to go Xander Schauffele. This is a guy, he's just secured his spot on Tiger Woods President's Cup team for the end of the year. He played well again last week at a big golf course in Medina, the number three course. He's won at Eastlake before. It's his third start, here at this tour championship. And he's had a first and a tie for seventh. So clearly the guy likes the place. And he's a fascinating character to me because he's always softly spoken. There's no big fanfare around him. And then all of a sudden when they're handing out trophies, this dude is lurking around the place all the time. So for me, Xander Schauffele, a definite stock up.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Tour Championship 2 years ago was where he kind of cemented his resume or really, I guess, stepped into the spotlight. But what he's done in majors is pretty impressive. He's one of those guys you kind of describe as a big game hunter, a big game player. He's always, you know, when the events are big, he seems to show up and bring his best stuff. It's whether it's major, the Players, Tour Championship, that's really when you see the best come out of Xander Schauffele. And I think that comes down to very good preparation and a very good game plan for not just the week ahead, but for the whole year to kind of try to plan your peaking for the biggest moments. And also, I think it just comes down to a certain mindset, which explains how you have a guy who, you know, went to San Diego State, was kind of an unheralded recruit, good college career, but, you know, wasn't signing big endorsement deals and getting a ton of media attention when he turned pro, but very quickly, in a short span, became one of the best players in the world. And I think that has to do a lot with that mental toughness and grittiness.
Yeah, absolutely. Good call there. Right. You've given me Justin Thomas and Sung Jae-im as your stock up. I've countered with Xander and Patrick Cantlay. Stock down, you got anything?
I'm going to go stock down on DJ. I was watching him and Speed playing that final group on Saturday at the Northern Trust at Liberty National, and you could tell then that there's something going on with his driving. He's obviously one of the best drivers in the game. Hits that little baby cut for control, but still bombs it out there. but he was missing it both ways. And I looked more into his world ranking, and, you know, he was runner-up at the Masters, runner-up at the PGA, but since the PGA, his best finish in his last seven starts is T20, which for Dustin Johnson is not what you're looking for. He hasn't won since the World Golf Championship in Mexico. So ball striking's a little off, and just, you know, DJ, for a power player, has great consistency, and this is one of the rougher stretches of the last few years for him.
Yeah, it has been curious, I got to admit. I mean, every week you look for Dustin Johnson to be up there, but, you know, he sort of struggled with the golf swing a little bit, I guess. He's reconnected with Claude Harmon, so they're working on the golf swing there. And when he struck it well, he hasn't made putts, and when he's made putts, he hasn't struck it so well. So he's kind of stuck in the middle of that golf thing right now. For me, I'm going to go Bryson DeChambeau stock down, and there are various reasons for this, but the main one is he came into this event last year ranked number one and finished tied for 19th, and he had a big weekend for that. I mean, he shot low on the weekend, especially Sunday, to climb up the leaderboard and finish 19th. He's on the back end of the whole slow play debacle, so maybe there's some of that sort of stuff going on. And to me, he's always working, we know that, and he's a very accomplished player and a great thinker, but he just doesn't look convinced to me right now. When we've watched him play in different the last few events, he's been there and thereabouts, and nothing has really been convincing. And I know you'll concur, probably. Eastlake, you're not going to fake it around this place. You have to have your best stuff. And so for me right now, I think there are just one or two too many question marks with Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, he made some pretty big equipment changes going into the Northern Trust, which is interesting, especially for this time of year to do it. And then it's just, you know, we've seen him go through some rough spurts before, and he always talks about, you know, he finds something that works and thinks it's going to last, and then, of course, it doesn't. And, you know, you've got to think that after he won the Shriners for, I think, his third win in his last five starts, you have to think that he thought he found something that was going to last, and it really hasn't. And, you know, he's always investigating the variables and looking through so many things, and I'm sure he's perplexed by his form of late. And then it doesn't help, of course, having to deal with the criticism for slow play that he had to deal with at Northern Trust, taking more than 2 minutes to hit a putt. And so I think you combine those two things, and I think it's just been a stressful few weeks for Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was Stock Up, Stock Down, presented by TD Ameritrade. Closing thoughts. I want you to share. You work at the tour. You've been around for all the discussions, and you've done all the research. The scoring change this year, and just the one tournament. There's not a tour champion and a FedEx Cup champion anymore. Sean, what is your take there?
You know, I think it's interesting. I think one thing that I liked is they went back and redid the scenarios of the past years and how it would have played out. And obviously, you know, you're not starting with the same leaderboard you are now, but basically all the results would have been the same, except in 2011, Luke Donald would have won instead of Bill Haas. And so what that tells me is that this is basically a simpler way to arrive at the same, if not a similar, result. And so now, instead of all the projections, and, you know, the hard part with the projections and going off of, you know, points earned, is that guys that aren't even in the mix for either title still affect things, because you earn more points for, let's say, a two-way tie for fifth instead of a three-way tie for fifth. And I don't think a lot of people at home know that or know how ties are divvied up as far as money and points. So, you know, you could be watching, you know, a couple guys who are fighting out for the FedEx Cup and a couple guys who are fighting out for the Tour Championship, and all of a sudden the projected FedEx Cup standings change and people don't know why. And it's because some guys made a bogey. So now, instead of, you know, one of the FedEx Cup contenders being in that three-way tie for fifth, it's now a two-way tie, and he picks up another, you know, 15, 20 points. And that's just too much for people at home to follow. So now you've got one leaderboard, one thing to focus on. It's relation to par, which is very simple, easy to look at. So I think the way to look at it, too, instead of looking at it as a tournament, like this being a one-week tournament, this is a culmination to a season. So you're seeded because you need to be rewarded for how you played all year. And so this is not it's not about crowning a tour championship winner. You know, that would be unfair. You're just focusing on that 1 week, because obviously someone starts 10 shots behind a leader. Instead, it's a way to crown a season-long champion, and that's why there is this seeding or these the staggered start, you know, strokes guys are starting with. So I think looking at it in a more macro sense, I think makes it a little bit more understandable.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I mean, as a fan, even me who works inside of the industry, it's going to be a whole lot more easy to digest and understand. Real fast to explain it to the folks listening. Sean talked about the staggered start. There's five guys starting at even par. DeChambeau, Oosthuizen, Howell, Glover, Kokrak. There are five guys starting at 1 under. Leishman, Fleetwood, Connors, M. Reavy. There are five guys starting at 2 under. Casey, Rose, Snedeker, Fowler, and Kisner. 5 at 3, Woodland. That's 3 under, of course. Woodland, Finau, Scott, Dustin Johnson, Hideki Matsuyama. Then there are five guys starting at 4 under par. Rahm, Kuchar, Schauffele, Simpson, Anser. And then the top 5 seeds, effectively. McIlroy, the 5th seed, he starts 5 under. Reed, the 4th seed, he starts 6 under. Koepka, who won the regular season on the PGA Tour, he starts as the 3 seed at 7 under. Cantlay is the 2 seed at 8 under. And the number 1 seed who has a 2-stroke lead is Justin Thomas. He will begin the tournament at 10 under par. Sean, I appreciate you joining us, man. It's been fun. I'm sure you're looking forward to a good week.
Definitely. I'm definitely interested to see how this plays out. You know, there's obviously the chance that Justin Thomas runs away with it, but I think it'll be interesting. I think, the guys behind, they have really nothing to do except try to sprint out to the front and kind of play hard and play aggressively. And I think it'll be interesting to see if guys do that or if they figure the best way for them to shoot low scores is kind of stick to the same game plan. So I think it'll be the biggest thing will be the examination of how guys approach this. This is so new for everyone involved.
Thank you, Sean, and to all you guys downloaded this one. Appreciate you guys. Look out for our Tour Championship Preview podcast. That'll drop on Wednesday. Sean, have a good week. I'll bump into you up there.
Sounds good. Thanks, Mark.